Now, I do hope that you liked the last song that we sang together. It's probably a new song for some of you. If you come on Wednesday night for the midweek service, we sing it a lot then, but we have never sung it before in worship. It declares what is truth. Okay, you may not realize this, but God is pursuing every soul, yours, mine, all of us. God is pursuing us relentlessly. And his pursuit is not because of some evil intent, but simply because he desires us to love him and to know the full extent of his love for us. So today, even as you sit here, the Holy Spirit is moving all around you, relentlessly pursuing you, calling you into relationship with the Father. Every person is on a journey through life. And through every moment of that journey, we are relentlessly pursued by our loving Holy Father. Now, in a believer's journey, there are two specific points of primary importance. The first point in a believer's journey, the point when a believer ceases to be a non-believer and becomes a believer, is called the moment of salvation. And the second point of significant importance in a believer's journey is called the process of sanctification. Now, in verse 17 of the passage just read to your hearing, Jesus prays, Father, sanctify them by the truth. And the subject of our worship today, the subject, excuse me, of my sermon, everything has been pointing to the process of salvation. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, the process of salvation. However, it's impossible to understand one of these major points in our journey as believers without understanding the other. So let's first talk about the moment of salvation. Now, the moment of salvation is the point in time, when a non-believer finally understands that they cannot save themselves and that they desperately need a Savior. It is a moment, a point in time. Prior to that moment, the individual in question is not a believer. After that moment, the same individual has resolved to trust Jesus Christ to save them from death and hell. Now, the person may not be significantly different after that particular moment. Nothing else may have changed. Except this, after that moment, they believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. After that moment, they believe. They literally resolve to surrender to the relentless pursuit of a loving God. Now, this moment may creep up on an individual so gradually that they cannot say for sure exactly when it happened. For others, it comes like a lightning bolt and knocks them right down on their backside on the road to Damascus, just like it did to the Apostle Paul. But when the moment of salvation arrives, the individual in question has resolved to trust Jesus and only Jesus to save them from death and hell. Now, for some of you, maybe some of you right here in this room, certainly perhaps some of those who have joined us through the television, some of you today listening to my voice, for some of you, this may be the moment of salvation. This may be the moment when you realize that you are a sinner, fallen short of the glory of God, right now, you might at last understand that you can do nothing to save yourselves from the consequences of your sin, which are death. This may be the moment when you realize that you, not the guy next to you, not your Grand Aunt Mabel, that you need a Savior. And that the only one who can save you is Jesus Christ. This could be the moment of salvation for you. The moment when you surrender to the relentless pursuit of our loving God. Now I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. Everybody who's listening to me, just assume an attitude of prayer. And Father, the ones I want to pray for are the ones who might be at that moment of salvation right now. Whether they're in this room or someplace else listening, right now they are resolving for their own selves for the first time that Jesus is the one. He is the Savior. He is the one, the only one who can bring them to you. And I want to pray for them that they will resolve to surrender to your relentless pursuit and that they will give themselves from this moment on to Jesus, to learn from Him, to learn from Him to love you, so that they may at last come into the fullness of your glory with Jesus, our risen Lord. Bless those who right now, this moment, have decided that they will give you their lives, their hearts, declare you Lord and name you Savior, that they may be saved. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, after we get to the moment of salvation and accept Jesus as our Savior, we begin the process of sanctification. God does not stop His restless pursuit of us simply because we say, I want Jesus. After we say, I want Jesus, God continues His pursuit of us through the process of sanctification. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29, the Apostle Paul tells us that those who are called by God to be believers are predestined by God to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. This being conformed to the likeness of Jesus is the process of sanctification. Now, it says in my notes just a couple of things, but I think there's five or six of them. So a few things to remember about sanctification. You ready? Number one, it is a process. It is a lifelong process. No one, you hearing me? No one is instantly changed from sinner into the likeness of Christ. We grow into it over time. Being conformed to the likeness of Jesus is a process. And number two, it happens by involvement with the truth. Now, I'm going to get nasty here, so forgive me. But Jesus Himself explains this in the very passage of Scripture that was just read in your hearing. He prayed to God, sanctify them by the truth. And then He said, your word is truth. In case you do not know it, this is the word of God, which Jesus declares in the passage of Scripture that was read to us today to be truth. And what Jesus is telling us through the words of His prayer is that the way we become sanctified is to become more involved with the Word. We become like Jesus because we become increasingly involved with the Word of God. I'm going to say it again. This is the Word of God. Sanctification happens through increased reading, listening to, studying the Word of God. Now, I cannot tell you how important this is. Okay? If you want to grow like Jesus, Jesus himself tells us exactly how to do it. You get involved with the book. Now, we are committed to making it possible for you to be involved with the Word of God here at Cornerstone. There is not a day where somebody is not meeting in this place to study the Word of God. On Tuesday night, there is a men's group meeting where they study the Word of God. On Tuesday night, there is a women's group meeting where they study the Word of God. Throughout the week, on almost every day, there is at least one spiritual growth group happening where they study the Word of God. In the next hour, we're going to break up and meet in groups where we are going to study the Word. Are you getting this? Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you do not involve yourself in the study of the Word of God, you are thwarting the process of sanctification. You're slowing down your growth in Jesus. Now, if you're content to be as you are, I'll get to you in a minute. Okay? And you're not going to like it. But the point of the matter is that if you believe, you want to be sanctified. And the way you will become sanctified is through increased involvement with the truth, the Word of God. Jesus himself said it. Now, third thing, sanctification is predestined for believers. God is relentlessly pursuing non-believers to turn them into believers. God is relentlessly pursuing believers to conform them to the likeness of Christ. Now, it is going to happen because our Father, who wills everything and whose will cannot be thwarted, said it's going to happen. So, if you are not a believer, if you do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you have not yet experienced the moment of salvation, you cannot be sanctified. It can't happen because sanctification is a process that is reserved for believers. You ain't one, you don't get it. Now, you can fake it, okay? Oh, there are so many people around who fake believing and who pretend that they are in the process of being sanctified. They can quote the Bible to you like they were a water fountain. They can spew out verses and even whole chapters of Scripture. You can pretend to be a believer. And in pretending, you can fool people. And I emphasize the word people, because there is one, the most important one, who is not fooled. Actually, there's two. One is up there, and the other is you. Unless you have surrendered everything to the relentless pursuit of God and claim Jesus as your ticket to heaven, you're not a true believer and you cannot be sanctified. But if you are a true believer, you must be sanctified, for it is predestined by the will of the Father. So if you aren't saved, you can't be sanctified. But if you are saved, you cannot not be sanctified. It's a test. It's a test. God has laid it out in the Word for us. It's hidden right there. You can see it. If you are a true believer, what you will desire is sanctification. You will want to be sanctified. So you will involve yourself with the Word of God. But if you don't involve yourself with the truth, you are in essence proclaiming the truth. You are not yet a believer. Now, I don't want to be harsh, but it's right there. If you won't involve yourself in the process of sanctification, it is because you are not yet saved. And I know that because the Scripture proclaims that sanctification is the will, the predestined will of the Father. And if you're not doing it, I know all I need to know about you. You need to experience the moment of salvation. You haven't surrendered yet to the relentless pursuit of Almighty God. Number four, your cooperation with the process of sanctification determines the extent of your sanctification. If a believer surrenders himself to the process, immerses himself in the study of the Word of God, if he does that, he will become more intensely sanctified. But if he goes and will not do what Jesus says he must, involve himself with the truth, he will be sanctified. But boy, is it gonna be like pulling teeth. All believers must move toward the likeness of Christ to one degree or another because God has ordained it to be so. Sanctification cannot be stopped by our lack of cooperation with the process. But boy, cooperation makes it a whole lot more successful. And number five, sanctification is a lifelong process. No believer is ever fully conformed to the likeness of Christ until he at last walks through the pearly gates and down the streets of gold. So, no matter how far you think you may have come in the process, you are still only a sinner saved by grace, who, like all other sinners saved by grace, falls short of the glory of God until at last he calls you home. And then number six, to be sanctified means to be set aside for God's purposes. Jesus is the model of a sanctified life. He tells us that in the very passage of Scripture that was read to us today. He was entirely devoted to doing the will of the Father, even to the point of dying in agony on the cross. The purpose of the process of sanctification is to help us become increasingly obedient to God and to burn inside with an uncontrollable fire to do the will of our Father. Now here's the joy of it. We are reading the high priestly prayer of Jesus. The prayer reminds us over and over again that right now Jesus stands at the right hand of the throne of God and that he is praying intercessory high priestly prayers for the likes of me and the likes of you. He is praying for us to become fully cooperative with the process of sanctification. He wants us to surrender completely to the relentless pursuit of our loving Father, because he knows that only then will our joy be.